Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
The messages we've been sharing the last couple weeks and this week and next on internal affairs. If there's any reason in the world why you want to get your inward life to look like the one God has you and called you to have, it's because of children. You know, if you're fortunate enough to have kids, if you've been blessed in life to be a parent, you know the truth of it is that, man, you just want the best for your kids. You want them to have everything you didn't have. And I don't mean money. I don't mean stuff. But you want them to miss the heartaches you've missed. You want them to miss the mistakes that you've made. And you want them to be able to navigate through life much better than you have. It's the heartbeat of every parent. You know, my daughter Sienna called me on Wednesday. She's at Grove City College. And just, she asked the question. She said, "Daddy, I want to come home this weekend. Would you mind coming up and getting me?" I said, "Honey, I will walk backwards and carry you on my shoulders. Thank you for coming home." So I went and got her on Friday. And it's just incredible. Getting to be her dad is one of the greatest. It is. Those three kids of ours, man, the greatest joy I can even. There's no words for that. Well, Saturday morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning, I said, "Michelle," I said, "I know they want to all sleep in, you know, but I got to go up and see them, you know." So she and Alexa, because Alexa missed her sister, they slept in the same bed. And so it's so sweet. So I knock on the door and I go in and I crawl in between them. And then I put my arms around them and they both put their heads on my shoulder. And I held them for like 10, 15 minutes just trying to catch my breath. And then it gets worse. Right in the middle of it, I realize these moments are fleeting, and I start to cry like a baby. So you're a woman. Give me a break. I can't help it. And then they kind of realize that I'm trying. No noise is coming out, but my body's just going, you know. And they hug me, and then it gets worse. And then Michelle comes up. She crawls in with us. And we FaceTime Ryan, and we were all in that double bed together. Lots of guys, there is no greater joy to be able to impart to your children the ability to navigate life with the picture that God has for them to navigate through. So we've been spending these weeks, and there's four things we've been intending to do. It is one, we want to help us to discover why we do what we do. Secondly, how to become inward in our inward life healthy. Thirdly, how to ensure that the internal mechanisms that govern our choices, those things that form our belief systems, are sound and they're healthy. And lastly, it's been our hope, which we'll focus on next week, it's how to remain hopeful while we fight through the process. You know, in the book of Acts, Peter and John, when they went to the gate at the temple called Beautiful, at the temple gate called Beautiful, there was a man who had never walked. And as they passed by him, the Bible said he looked upon Peter and John, hoping to receive alms or money from them. Peter looked at him and he said, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we will give you. Such as I have, I give you." He said, "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And God healed that man miraculously. Aren't you glad we still serve a God who works miraculously right now in your everyday life? He hasn't grown powerless. But he made a very important statement. He said, "Such as I have, give I thee." You cannot give what you do not have, and you will give what you do have to your children. If it's a healthy inward picture, you will teach your children to live that way. If it's unhealthy, you'll impart that to your kids. And I want to encourage you today to understand how critical these things are. The first week we talked about you can't fix what you can't see. And I spent some extensive time on the first week about telling you how there was an unlikely, even an unintentional intervention in mine and Michelle's life. And how a man named Claude Robald came into our life and helped pull back the curtain and help us see some of the unhealthiness in our life. And I don't have time to reiterate that, but this is a series I really would encourage you to go online and download. You can do it for free. You can watch it on our website for free, lifeatvictory.com. For a very nominal charge, you can pick up the CD. And so how Claude began to help us to discover why we do what we do. And then last, you know, then today I want to talk to you about your inward life, how to become healthy on the inside, how God's provided the way to do that. Last week, we talked about why you do what you do. And that's something that Claude helped us through as well. And last week, I focused a lot on my life. That is the unhealthiness and how I looked at life through a very positive lens. But that lens was not positive. It was actually distorted. And you could almost, not almost, it did lend toward denial. And see, people do not want to live in pain. It's human nature. You'll be sitting in that chair throughout this service and you'll move three or four times or six or seven or eight, nine times. Just little movements because you just want to be comfortable. You'll cross your leg one way, you'll cross. People want to be. We do not desire to live in pain. We'll do anything to avoid it. If we don't know how to deal with our inward issues, we're going to do things to deal with those inward issues that are destructive. And that's where I want to hopefully take you into God's Word today to help and provide a path and show you how God's Word teaches that your inward life, that inward picture, can become healthy, can be shaped by the power of God and can transform your life. But maybe many of you are like Michelle was. Maybe you don't fall on the side that I did, the unhealthy side of denial and pushing things off. Maybe you're like Michelle and where she went through a lens, looked through the lens of life very negatively. Now, in her situation, it's real easy to figure out why that happened. When she was 8 years old, her father abandoned their family. Parents divorced, which those things happen. But divorcing a spouse and abandoning a child are two different things completely. And so when you have three kids and you abandon them, an 8-year-old little girl who one day was daddy's little girl, the next day is gone and doesn't have any relationship with him for 10 years. You can only internalize that one way. There's something wrong with me. And that's what she did. And you see, and I say this, if you're going through a divorce or no matter what you're doing, and I know it's hard to focus on your kids when you're in that kind of pain. But please sit down with your children and do your best to explain to them this is not your fault. This you couldn't have changed this. There was nothing that you did that caused this. Those words will not change everything, but it will help your child not to process life through that lens. But Michelle, it was obvious. You could talk to her. You could talk to anybody. Listen, at the end of the day, if I'm not good enough for my own father to stay in my life, there must be something innately wrong with me. Though we know that isn't true. The fact of it is people do what they do because of who they are, not because of who you are. But forget telling an 8-year-old that. Try to tell a 38-year-old that. Because it's so easy to have your belief system shaped by the events of your life. So she made a determination in her very young life that I'm never going to expect anything good anymore in my life. I'm never going to have an expectation for anything in my life that will be exceedingly good, and therefore I will never be disappointed like this again. And so she began to live an inward life of desperation. You wouldn't have been able to see it necessarily on the outside. She was this beautiful little girl, beautiful young woman. She's smart, she's capable. But she completely began to implode internally because of a belief system that was formed by trauma, really, in her life. And she began to actually, she would project on others what she believed about herself. And we do it all the time. But if you don't understand that is a terribly unhealthy way to live, she would project what she felt about herself on other people's view of her. She would conclude what somebody thought of her based on how she felt about herself, not based upon the truth of that other person's assessment. That doesn't mean that everybody in the world's going to love you and everybody in the world's going to like you. But it was obviously a devastating way for her to live. The trauma in her life formed these beliefs in her heart. Now, sometimes in life, you can go back and you can kind of connect the dots. And it's not real hard to connect the dots when a child's been abandoned by a parent. But can I say to you, some of our lives are not going to be that simple to connect the dots. And let me say as well, you don't always have to connect the dots as to why these beliefs were formed. Really, can I encourage you this? And I'm not saying that's unimportant. For some people, that will be very important. For some people, that will be necessary. And God will walk you through that. And that's where good Christian counseling is so, so important. But can I tell you this? A good Christian counselor has no power to do you any healing power, any good to you at all. All they can do is help you to discover and open doors for God to be able to heal your life. And why is that so important? Because if you think you have to go unpack everything behind you to the extent, and you'll spend 10 years of your life figuring out what everybody did to you. No, you want to focus on the cure, not the disease. Now, it doesn't mean sometimes you don't need to connect some dots. But make sure you don't live your life connecting the dots of yesterday. Make sure you live your life learning how to walk out the cure, because the cure is the same for everybody. And so changing what you believe must be your goal in life, not trying to change your behavior, not trying to change your outer life. All of us, since we've given our lives to Christ, have things in our life we wish weren't there. How many of you have things in your life? Let me ask you, okay, other than the liars in the room, how many of you in this room have things in your life that you just go, I wish that would just not be there? Raise your hand. Okay, for the rest of you, lying is your issue. Okay, so if wanting to change was enough, we'd all change. But being empowered to change is the critical issue. Last week, I showed you these two diagrams. I wrote these years ago as I began to process this in my life. The one first to your left is where you take all of your energy and you pour it into trying to change your behavior. Anybody married? How many of you have stuff in your marriage or in your life that ticks off your spouse? Okay. How many of you have had stuff that ticks off your spouse going on for over 10 years? Okay. Can I hear 15? Can I hear 20? Can I hear 25? So there's 25 years we've been married, and there's still things I do that make her less than happy. You say, well, just change it. How many of you have been married long enough where your husband or your wife says, I promise I'll change that? So for those of you who've been married for 2 or 3 years, you still have hope, don't you? The rest of us have understood there's some things about human behavior you just can't pour your energy into and change them. And I'm really talking about just less important things in that context. But human behavior doesn't change by will. And here's where it gets really dangerous. If you love Jesus and you want to please God, this can be a terrible trap for you. Because what you'll attempt to do is say, Lord, I love you and I want to serve you and I want to honor you with my life. So as a desire and as an outflow of that love, I'm going to change this behavior to show I love you. That's a very noble way to live, but it's a trap. Because you cannot change yourself. Well, I know I can change myself. No, listen. Jesus said without him, you can do nothing. Nothing of lasting. You can do some external things. You can do things on the periphery. You can do things superficially. But truly changing what governs the way you live, you are powerless to do that. But yet, if you think that's how you love God, then your walk with Jesus will become a white-knuckle experience. It will become a negative experience in your life. What you and I have been called to do is not pour our energy into our behavior, but the opposite. We are called to pour our energy into our beliefs. You, no matter what you're facing today, no matter how traumatic it may have been, and I'm not diminishing trauma in your life or mine, you have more than sufficient energy. And God has given us a plan in His Word to affect our beliefs. And when the beliefs of your heart are affected, when they are persuaded, when they are established, those beliefs will govern your behavior. And it becomes a grace-empowered change and not a flesh-empowered change. Because anything you do on your own is short-lived. But what God does by His power can be long-lasting. So Michelle found, really, her belief system. What you don't understand, you end up justifying. And so she would couch her belief system in that she was a realist. Look, this is what life has been for me. This is what I've experienced. And truthfully, because she projected those things on other people her whole life, she kept experiencing it from other people. Now listen, I should say it this way. She perceived that she was experiencing it from other people. And when you couch these type of things, like in her case, she would couch her negativity in realism. But realism, apart from the truth of the Word of God, is simply pessimism. And it's destructive. The same way I would tell you that being positive apart from the truth of God in God's word is not being positive. It's actually living in the land of denial. And you see, it's so important, guys, that in the absence of the work of Jesus in our lives, in His absence, in the absence of this work of His power and His process, changing what I believe, which governs my behavior, that I am going to do something to deal with these issues in my life. And most times they're destructive. Sometimes they really produce some great things, though. Do you know some of the wealthiest people in the world are trying to deal with pain in their life? They've given themselves over so much to achievement. And they've achieved and they've gained and they've gained and they've achieved, but they've lost the most precious things in their life. And it's such a terrible trade-off. And when you live that way, even if you gain good things, what you've gained will always be less than what you've lost. You will lose things much more precious than anything you've gained. So it can look positive, but at the end of the day, you'll forfeit the most precious things in your life. Ultimately, we'll do more destructive things. We'll fill our lives with a self-loathing. Do you know how many people listening to me right now? How many people who will watch this online, who will hear this message, loathe themselves? They don't think highly of themselves. The Bible says, well, the Bible says we shouldn't. No, the Bible says we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But can I tell you that God thought highly enough of you to send His Son to die for you? He thinks very, very highly of you. And in the absence of having your beliefs formed by the Word of God, you're going to fill your life with a self-loathing or a negativity, ultimately poor choices, destructive behaviors. And ultimately, you will damage your most intimate relationships in your life. And nobody wants to live that way. Nobody wants to live this way. Nobody wants to live this way. Nobody gets married and says, I do, and then whispers, can't wait to ruin your life. And she leans over and says, in 10 years, I'm going to wish you were dead. I'm going to look at you and can't stand the sight of your face. Nobody wants life to turn that way. But why, for so many, do we end up living in a world that we hate? A reality that we loathe? Because we don't know the pathway out. And here's the crazy thing about it. The pathway out is beyond your own power, beyond your own ability, and it requires a humble yielding to God and a process that really is not difficult at all. And when He begins to empower you to come out of it, it's an incredible thing to see God show up in a broken life. And might I say, any life without Jesus is broken. Any life without His mercy, grace, and continuing love poured into you will remain a broken life. And I don't care how the picture looks to other people. I don't care how much you're in shape. I don't care if you can have washboard abs. Look, I've got a 6-pack. It's just hidden by a 12-pack. Okay, so what? All right, listen. Doesn't matter, guys. You can have the 3.5 kids and 2.5 cars and this and go on vacation here. And you can eat. Facebook can make your life look amazing. Except you have to click out of that eventually and come back into the real world. The scripture says, now listen, that God wants to restore your soul. Everybody say, restore my soul. Let's read from Psalms 23. Verse 1 through 3. We're going to pick up next week, the latter half of Psalms 23, when we talk about how to remain hopeful as you fight through this process. And so much more we're going to look at next week. Because, guys, if you don't know how to keep fighting this process, keep fighting this battle without giving up your hope, without starting to draw conclusions, guys, I'll tell you, that's why so many people stop serving God. They don't know how to remain hopeful and connected to the mercy of God while they fight through this process in which they win. Everybody say, I win. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet or still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul. It doesn't say, I restore my soul to show God how much I love Him. My shepherd says, I will restore your soul. Now, let me talk to you about what restoration means. Now, think of an old piece of furniture. Michelle really likes antiques. And she likes to see things that she has that eye to be able to see something in its the most messed up form it can be. And when she looks at it, she sees it restored. So there's been things through the years. She'd say, well, isn't this a great whatever? And I'd look at it and I'd think, no. That looks like it belongs in a garage with just tools on top of it. But she looks at it and she can see the final product. And I remember a long time ago when she got some furniture she wanted to restore. And she said, all you do is you put this stuff on it and it strips away all the other stuff and then you refinish it. Well, that sounded like a cool thing. So she was doing it and I was going to help her, which bad move on her part. And she put this stuff on it. And then, I thought, well, you're supposed to wait so long and then it's all going to come off and it's done. And so I wiped it off and it wasn't gone. And she said, no, honey, you need steel wool. I said, I need who? And then, you're scrubbing but at the end of the day, when she finished with the project she was doing, all of the stuff was off and then it was completely refinished. I've seen her look at stuff that really you think that would belong in a garage and she can see the final product. That's what the restoration of the soul is. It's having to strip away beliefs, strip away traumas that have formed beliefs and get down to the place where God's called you to be and then to be to the place and a belief system that reflects what God's made you to be in your original form. You see, so there's a restoration of the soul, but then there's also go out and buy a new piece of furniture. That's my life. I don't care if we ever buy new furniture, but if I had to pick, buy me something new that's simple, that they deliver, carry up my steps and stick it in the room. And I walk away and I go, nice. Because I don't want to do any work that listen, I'm like most men at the deepest root of my being. I am intentionally lazy. And all the men said, we're not lazy about stuff we like. We're lazy about stuff you like. Well, did that come out loud? Did I say that out loud? It's so true, isn't it? But let me explain. Let me help you understand. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, He didn't restore your spirit. See, man is a three-part being. God is a three-part being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are made in His likeness and image. We are a triune or a three-part being. We are spirit, soul, and body. Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica and he said this, I pray God to sanctify you or set you apart wholly or completely, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless till His coming. God said you are a spirit because you are made in His likeness and in His image. Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You are a spirit being who possesses a soulish realm. And you live in a body. Now, to divide spirit and soul asunder, the Bible said, takes the power of the Word of God. It's understanding the triune nature of man is as difficult if you're going to try to parse it as it is to understand the Trinity. And sometimes you think you get your mind around the Trinity, three gods, all distinct personalities in one person. You think you're getting it and then your mind goes, and you can't get your arms around it. Your spirit, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, was not restored like an old piece of furniture. In fact, when you came to Christ and made Jesus your Savior, and what Jesus called when you did that was that you were born again. Your spirit, which was dead because of sin, was made brand new. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, or if any man comes to Christ, he becomes a new creation. A new creature, a new species of being that never before existed. And old things passed away and everything becomes new. And everything that has become new is of God. Your spirit, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, was not cleaned up like an old piece of furniture. That's why when people say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You weren't some old dead piece of furniture that God just scraped the sin off and said, here, look at this piece of junk that I fixed. No, He made you brand new. When you made your life to Jesus Christ, you became born again. You became a person that never existed before. You are born a newborn baby in Christ without a past. Your spirit is alive to God. You've been made brand new in His presence. Your spirit infused with the very life and nature of God. You are a child of the living God. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You are saved by grace. And now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are in your inward person. Aren't you glad? But right on the other side of that, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your belief system is the same as the day before you gave your life to Jesus. It must be restored. And that process is a lot like the furniture Michelle fixes and rehabs. You've got to get in there and you've got to scrape off some junk. And if you want to, you can't ignore these things. And that's why the scripture tells us how to do this. It's so important. It's so important. Guys, it's why everybody in this church should go through Growth Track. Tonight's 201. If you've not gone through 201 yet, come on. Get 201 is how we show you the essentials of the faith. We literally are going to walk you through a process so that you can learn how to live everyday life dealing with this soulish issue. 101, 201, 301, 401. If you're new to Victory, it's so important you go through that process. 101 will tell you about the church and give you an opportunity to actually be a member. 201, you learn the essentials. 301, you discover your gifts. 401, you find a place to use your gifts and join the dream team. That's why it's important that you come to church on Wednesdays, first Wednesdays. That's why it's important you come to church on the weekends. And it is desperately important. Get involved in a small group so that you can begin to be in a process where God can be restoring your soul, where your belief systems can be literally shaped by the Word of God. Look here in the Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15 through 18. And we'll read verse 1 of chapter 4 as well. I want you to see the mirror that God is about to tell us about that will change you. We're talking about, if this were a fairy tale, they call it the mirror, mirror on the wall. There is a mirror God has placed within your reach, that if you will behold yourself in that mirror long enough, the mirror will change you. So in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 15, and Paul's referring to the Jewish people when he says, even to this day, when Moses is read, or the old covenant is read, a veil or a blinder lies on their heart. He's referring to his Jewish brethren. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, this veil is taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, meaning He's the one who takes the veil away. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Anything God touches, He makes it free. Liberty. He said, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Verse 18, and He tells you how that freedom is imparted in my life and your life. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed into the same image. Whose image? His image. From glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, the Spirit of God Himself, when you behold yourself, and I'll tell you, we're going to get to another scripture and show you what that mirror is. He said, but when you behold yourself in this mirror, you're changed. You're transformed. You're transformed into an image. And it's not the image you think you should have of yourself, or your spouse thinks they should have of you, or what your parents think you should be, or what your friends think they should be, or your employer, or whoever. You're changed into His image. And it's by the very glory, the very power of God. In fact, He said it this way, the Spirit of God will do it for you. It is an empowerment to be transformed by the power of God. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says this, therefore, since we have this ministry, As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Next week, I'm going to help you to understand that if you don't understand how to receive mercy during this process, you will lose heart, you will faint, and you will give up, and you will quit. But don't do that. Because the Bible said you have a ministry. This ministry is referring to, when he said, we have this ministry, therefore, in other words, because of what I've just said, we all have this ministry, and here's the ministry. This ministry refers to you looking into the mirror of God's Word. And that mirror reflecting His glory. And that glory will transform you into His image. In other words, your inward picture reflects how He sees you. Your belief system begins to be impacted not by your white-knuckled fight to be right before God, but by the power of His Spirit, literally changed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 22. This is the desire of every godly person. How many of you desire to be a doer of what God tells you to do with your life? We all desire that. How many of you have struggled always being a doer? How many of you, honestly now, have ever struggled with doing what God told you to do with your life? Sure you have. But look what he said here in James chapter 1 as we wind this down. He said, but the doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man or manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. He's now telling you why people are unable to change and why people are able to change. And it has to do with the mirror. And the mirror he's referring to is the Scripture, is the Word of God. In fact, he calls it this, the perfect law of liberty. If you weren't here last week, and oh, I'd encourage you to listen to that message. Remember last week we talked about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. A law is an unchangeable thing. He said, when you look into the mirror of my word, it is a perfect law that produces liberty. Now, mirrors are an amazing thing. The younger you are, the greater friend the mirror is to you. It really is. I've been in department stores walking and I go by a mirror and I kind of glance and not really know I was looking. Kind of, you don't know it's a mirror, and you see someone, and you think, well, I resemble that old person. Who was that? And I look and I go, oh, good Lord. That's me? You know, you forget, you know, that I'm 53, but sometimes I think I'm like 25. And then a mirror shows up. And I remember what manner of man I am. And I can tell you this, when we were first married, you know, we lived in some rough spots. And, you know, and our showers were usually part of a bathtub. And in fact, one place we lived, we didn't even have a shower. We just had a bathtub. But they would close with either, you know, a big old curtain. You couldn't see through it. But we have a house now where the shower is this clear glass. That should be illegal at a certain age. It looks great in the bathroom until you get behind it. And there's a mirror right on the other side. You're like, Jesus, fog up the mirror. Fast, Jesus, fast. He's just looking in the mirror because the mirror does not lie. The mirror tell you stuff you don't want to see. And I got to tell you this. You know, for years, man, my eyes, I could read the newspaper across the room. I mean, I could see. And now, you know why I think your eyes just get a little blurry as you get older? It's kindness. I'm serious. Because Michelle sometimes, you know, now I'm just going to be plain. If you don't like plain, you won't like this church. So, guys, as we get older, our hair does stuff. It kind of goes away. I call this first and third base. And when it goes away up here, this is called second base. And if it's all gone, you got a home run. But as you get older, your hair moves from here to here. And it can grow out of here. And so because my eyes, I have to wear my, you know, our reading glasses now and to actually read. Michelle sometimes will look at me and say, there's stuff growing out of you. You need to cut that stuff out of there. I go, well, I don't see it. She goes, put on those glasses, there's a forest. No, I just live in denial. I don't want my glasses. Don't worry about it, baby. It's just fine. The mirror doesn't lie. But let me tell you something about the mirror of the perfect law of liberty. It doesn't lie either. In fact, as a Christian, you're going to have to come to this determination. Everything I believe that doesn't agree with that mirror, that's the lie. Everything, every lie you believe about yourself, everything you believe is so true because you experienced it for so long, is a lie if the mirror of God's word says differently. He said, here's why people fail to do what God told them to do. Because they look in the mirror of the perfect law of liberty and they go away from it and they forget the manner of man they are. In other words, what they believe has not yet been impacted. And so they walk away from discovering you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. Everything I set my hand to in life will prosper. I have the favor of God, favor with men. I have wisdom and understanding that's granted to me by the Spirit of the living God. That's what the mirror says about you. The mirror says you are enabled to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And yet you walk away from that mirror. You forget what manner of man you are and you go right back into the other behavior. But then he said this, but whoever will go to the mirror, now listen, and continue or stay in the mirror long enough. Then listen to what he said would happen. He said, and you won't forget the image. This person will be blessed because they'll be able to do it. So let me talk to you as we close today about staying in the mirror. It's not something you have to have, you know, an angel appear to you. You have to decide and figure out ways to get the Word of God in your life on a daily basis. We would call it a devotional life. But I also want to encourage you and caution you. Some of us in this room, probably 10 to 15%, are people who need, you need structure. That really works for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so for those of you that are in that 10 to 15%, then you getting up at a certain time every day and doing the same thing every day can be life-giving to you. But for other people, it will lose its life in about 6 weeks. Actually, it will lose its life in sometimes 6 hours. Because God wants a relationship with you. Relationships are not linear. Now, let me give you an example. If you think getting in the Word of God means I get up, and usually it means if you're really spiritual, getting up at a time that you can't get up. Because the more you suffer, the more godly it is. So if you get up at 6, now you get up at 5. Which means just lose sleep. Spiritual life doesn't mean sleep deprived, by the way, just so you know that. But let's imagine that this works for you. You're up, you spend your 20 minutes reading your Bible, you spend your 20 minutes doing whatever, and so whatever, you've got your gig down, all right? And so you've talked to God for 20 minutes that day, you've read His Word, and now, okay, God, we're done, I'll see you in the morning. That's how most people work with a devotional life. Think how marriage would work that way. 6 in the morning, Michelle, what? Get up. Why? We gotta talk. Why? It's that time. Come on, 20 minutes, talk. And then she talks back, and I talk back, and our 20 minutes are up. She's in the middle of a sentence, and I go, up, done. We did our 20, but honey, up. See you tomorrow. 6 o'clock. That's not how relationships work. That's how the Bible says pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean you're praying. It means you have this constant fellowship with God. There are really practical ways you can put the Word in your heart. How many of you drive to work alone? Raise your hand. All right. Then you can have your car set up to be a learning center. If you have an ability to do MP3, whatever connected to your car, you can down. There's so much you can download. You have to live 4 lifetimes to listen to everything that's out there. And find ministers and ministries that help you. This morning, Keith Moore was talking to me while I showered. It sounds weird, but he is in my bathroom all the time. I told Keith Moore when he was here, I said, Keith, I just want you to know, dude, you're in my bathroom all the time. You talk to me in my bathroom. And he said, well, I appreciate that. Sounds weird, but you know what? Here's all the spirituality it takes. And he starts talking. And you know what he's done? He has probably spent, listen, and this is no exaggeration, 30 years of his life combined to tell me what he's sharing in about 30 to 60 minutes. So I can push a button and get 30 years of someone's spiritual life investing in me. And this morning he was talking to me about having Thanksgiving in my life. It was so cute. And I didn't even tell Michelle this. I walked by, I was about to leave, and she was in the shower, and he was talking. She doesn't even know, she probably did it. She talked back to him. She said, yeah, I do that. Yeah, I do. I heard her talking. I just laughed. So it's just, what? So, is that super spiritual? No, it takes, hit a button. Go in the car, hit a button. Simple. Have a devotional life. Take time where you read the Bible. Just make it simple. It doesn't, well, I have to read my chapter and a half a day. No. Because then it becomes, okay, I'm reading. Doesn't mean anything to me, but I let my eyes passed on my chapter. Okay, I did my thing. By God. No, I'm talking to you about living in the mirror. Finding messages that will speak to the issues of your life. How many of you would love to have a great marriage? Get in the mirror about marriage. How many of you know who Jimmy Evans is? Oh, he's an incredible Marriage Today. Incredible marriage ministry. Family issues. Joe McGee. I mean, Joe McGee will get you laughing to where you have to pull over. That you can learn the Word of God. And here's the key. It isn't some dead work you're doing. You're using your energy to form beliefs in your life by staying in the mirror. And the Bible said when you get into the mirror of the Word of God. Now listen. It is the perfect law of liberty. Wherever the Word of God forms my beliefs, I'll have freedom. And wherever it's absent, I will be bound. Period. I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how determined you are. Without the power of the Word of God at work in my life, I will be bound. Whatever area you're bound in, get in the mirror. And as he said here, as we close, stay there. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about how to stay there when you feel hopeless, how to stay there when you make bad choices, how to stay there when you're dealing with the consequences from bad choices, how to know the mercy of God more than you know the judgment of others, more than you know the guilt that you feel. And if you'll learn these simple things, you can start a process where it is now the power of God that changes you. Because so many people think it's what, well, I changed this. And No. Guys, if there's anything good in me, all of it's Jesus. All of it's Jesus. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing of any lasting value in your life will not happen except by the grace of God. And this is a process where God Himself will change you. Into what? Into the image of who He's called you to be. And you will literally live your life to the full because you've let the mirror work in your life. The power is in the Word of God. And I want to help you to stay in the mirror. The series we're doing after this is on faith. And I'm going to talk to you about how to believe God. How to believe when everything in your senses are screaming to run in 10 directions. How to stay put and believe God and not move and not be moved by what you feel or what you see or by what you've experienced. And I'm telling you, on the other side of a life of grace and faith is a life of victory, is a life of joy. It's a life where God will take you places you never dreamed possible. Where He can lift you out of circumstances you deemed impossible. You throw the word impossible in front of God, He'll laugh at it. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. And we're going to talk about that in this coming series. And it's my hope that you let God, let your church, let the things available to you in your church begin to keep you in the mirror. If you'll make these simple decisions, I promise you, by God's word, that you, as the scripture said, if you will stay in that perfect law of liberty, you will be blessed in your life because God is faithful. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. Lord, there are people in this room, some that maybe like Michelle, they've experienced unimaginable unimaginable trauma in their life. Some that would make her trauma look like a walk through the park. People in this room have been sexually abused. There are people in this room that have been physically abused, relationally abused. And it did something to them. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But the mirror of your word will. It will change us. It will transform us into your image. And so, Lord, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice that not one person here would leave without hope. And no matter where we find ourselves today, that we will go after you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. So if you're here today, and I just want to pray over you, if that's you. Lord, I pray for those people that they not give up, that they not weary in well-doing, that they not faint in their mind, but that they stay in the mirror because of your great love, and that there's a church that will love them, a church that will fight life through with them, that we will never give up on one another because you never give up on us. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you would spend it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Would you please include me in a prayer to invite Jesus in my heart? I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. Dear one, listen, please. There really is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus said so. And you go to heaven not by your good works. You don't go to heaven because you try to be a good person. You don't go to heaven because you're a member of a church. There is salvation in no church. There is salvation in no church sacrament. There is salvation in no pastor or priest. That includes this church, this pastor, and any sacrament herein. Only by accepting Christ as the Lord of your life can you have the free gift of eternal life. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. And the question is, what will you do with a Savior? If you're here today and you don't know that you've ever given your life to Jesus, you've ever given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you. And I'll pray for you right where you're seated. And the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to receive Christ as in my heart to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hand up real high so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Lift it where I can see it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Sure, hands are everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me with those many that have. I want to receive Christ into my life today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Right where you're seated, I'll pray for you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've not yet lifted your hand, you want to be included, lift it right now high so I can see it, and I'll pray for you as well. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. If you raise your hand, thank you so much. If you raise your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Jesus will come into your life. He will make you brand new. And you keep coming back. And let God restore your soul. Let Him bring you to the place He's prepared for you. Let Him do the great work in your life that He wants to do. Come back to church. Keep coming and let be around God's people and God's Word. And let Jesus do something amazing in your life. But the first step is to be made brand new by His precious sacrifice. So if you raised your hand or should have, pray this out loud where you hear it, and we'll pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. In Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.